thing. Teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord, your way.
Amen. God bless you tonight. It's so good to be here and knowing that we're having service tonight. Amen. So it means we're here to do something. We're not here for movie night or for entertainment. It's service. So we're waiting on the Lord tonight. Amen. So we just appreciate the grace of God. Good to see each one of you tonight. So many things I'd like to say that I don't have time to say tonight, but we just appreciate each one of you. God bless you all. And we'll try not to prolong the time. I know we got working folk and different ones here. And, you know, maybe this is just me, but it's a little bit of a pet peeve for me. You know, sometimes ministers, especially when they, you know, they're full-time, whatever, they get to wax and poetic. I'm thinking, man, these people got to get up in the morning. You know, they worked all day and this and that. So, and I know lots of you tonight, maybe you had a long day and things. Brother Eddie, I perceive by Facebook that you had a tough time getting here today. So, a different one. Many of us could say the same thing. So, but you come out tonight to the house of God, you made a sacrifice, and I believe that God is faithful to see that tonight. You believe that? He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. If you turn tonight to the book of Isaiah, the 28th chapter, we'll read a couple different scriptures tonight. And I'm trying to keep on as far as a subtext or a general thought, speaking about adoption and spiritual maturity. And I'd like to look here in Isaiah, the 28th chapter. We're going to read verses 9 to 11, and then we'll go over to the book of Joshua, the third chapter after that. And while you're turning there, let's just have a word of prayer. Let's bow our heads and look unto Him tonight. Heavenly Father, we do thank You tonight that You are not only the author of this Bible that we are getting ready to read, but You're the author and the finisher of our faith. And Lord, we can say, as the prophet said, that maybe we don't have every scripture in this Bible memorized, but we know the author. What a privilege to be known and to know You tonight, as we sang just at the beginning of service about being part of the family of God. Lord, I think of my natural family, how I was born into a certain family and I never did join that family. Father, tonight we are part of the family of God, and what a privilege it is. Lord, so many people there talking about their privileges and different families and different backgrounds having privileges, but we have a privilege tonight as the sons and daughters of God to rise up above worldliness and to rise up above darkness and to rise up above the power of sin and to hear from the throne of heaven, and not just to hear from there, but to sit down as overcomers, to exercise kingdom authority in our homes and our lives as adopted sons and daughters of God. I pray tonight for these that have gathered together, for those that would hear the sound of my voice tonight. May the word of God go forth in strength. May You dissolve doubts. May You open the eyes tonight. May You give understanding and wisdom and light and revelation by the preaching of the word of God. Lord, I'm thankful for a light in this hour of gross darkness, and we believe, Lord, that You've ordained a people to take full authority for the manifestation of the sons of God, that we might be overcomers according to Your promise in the midst of Satan's Eden, in the midst of a perverse and a crooked generation, that You might receive, Lord, even tonight in this place, may You receive all the glory and the praise and the honor, for we ask it now. Bless the reading of Your word, we pray. We commit all these things into Your hands in Jesus Christ's mighty name. And the bride says, amen. Isaiah, the 29th chapter, verse 9, to whom shall He teach knowledge, and whom shall He make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will He speak to this people. Now, Brother Bram ties us into the day of Pentecost and the stammering lips. And of course, the scripture does the same thing. But Brother Bram talks about this on the day of Pentecost. And if you read down here through for the sake of time, I'm not going to go through the whole thing tonight. But when you read down through the rest of this chapter, the Lord is speaking about the covenant of death that people have made and how He will annul it. And He's laid in Zion a cornerstone. Amen. And He makes the point that the Lord will rise up as He did in Mount Perazim, and He shall be wroth as He was in the valley of Gibeon, that He may do His strange work. And He says, I'm going to do this day by day. So what He begun in the day of Pentecost, He's continuing to perform unto this day. He's going to do something like He did there in the valley of Gibeon. And you recall, if you heard me last time I preached, what happened in the valley of Gibeon? a man spoke to God in that valley, and he said for the sun to stand still and for the moon to hold its place. And the Bible says, never did God hearken unto a man like he did that man. So God's going to do something, I believe. I believe he's already done something. I believe he's doing something tonight like he did back there. He's going to bring to pass his strange work, his act. Amen. Joshua chapter 3, and we're talking about a promised land. Amen. And to reiterate for those that don't remember or don't study or didn't hear me before or whatever, whoever you are, amen. We know through the adoption, Brother Bram talks about the adoption represents not the millennium and the great hereafter, but it represents the Holy Ghost. Our position in Christ is in there. Amen. And I really want to tie into this idea tonight. What kind of a promised land are we inheriting? And my text tonight, now this is a song we sing here in America. The song we sing, this land is your land. This land is my land. That's what I want to title my sermon tonight. Amen. And America is a great big place. You know, before I'm getting off my text here for just a second. But, you know, what I love about America is you any type of climate or activity or something you want to do, you can find it in America. Amen. You don't got to go overseas. Amen. You go to India and it's all hot. At least where I've been. You go someplace, it's all the same, but you've got mountains, you've got fields, you've got valleys, you've got oceans. It's all kinds of things in this one land. And I believe our promised land's kind of like that. Thank you, brother. Joshua chapter 3. And I want you to notice what's taking place here as these men cross over. In verse 12, it says, now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe of man, and it shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth. Amen. He's not just the God of promise, he's the Lord of the whole earth. Shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap. And it came to pass when the people were moved from their tents, it's time to get up, amen, to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people. And as they bear the ark were coming into Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water. Now watch this, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks at the time of the harvest. I'm going to come back there in just a minute. That the water, man, I've got to preach this guy. He knows where we're going. The waters which came down from above stood and rose up from upon a heap very far from the city Adam, that is beside Zeraton. And those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea failed and were cut off. And the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground. Amen. In the midst of the Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people. Amen. We're not leaving anybody behind here. If you're part of this called out group, we're all going over. Amen. Until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. Amen. Yes, sir. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. You be seated. Amen. I just think, as I said, I was talking about the scene there in Gibeon last time and how the moon and the sun stood still. And, you know, we tend to dramatize that a little bit sometimes when we look at and we think to ourselves as human beings, what a great thing that was. That was just amazing. Wouldn't that have been great to be there? But Brother Bram says this in the Paradox Message in August of 1963. And I want you to consider what he's saying here, because I think many times as I make this point over and over again in this series, we're missing things that are supposed to be right under our nose. Brother Bram says this, the Bible said here that it was never a time before or since like it that God hearkened to the voice of a man. You say, oh, I know if we just lived in that day. Jesus said in St. Mark 11:24, if you say to this mountain, be moved, and don't doubt in your heart, but believe what you've said will come to pass, you can have what you've said. Amen. Still grace and the paradox on down into our age. Sure, that moon and sun stood still, and Joshua fought his way through with Israel and avenged themselves upon their enemy. Why? It was in the line of duty. Now, if you go out here and say, mountain, move, I want to show you that I can do it. It won't do it. But if it's in the line of duty, when God has commanded you, listen, God has given us some commandments in this generation. Maybe you haven't seen the angel of the Lord with your own two eyes. Maybe you've never heard that still small voice. Well, hopefully you have, amen. Maybe you never heard it in a thunder or a lightning, or maybe you weren't in Brother Bram's meetings. Amen, but we've got some commandments. We've got a commission in this day. You're here for a reason. It's not to twiddle your thumbs and look across the river and say, I wish we could dwell over there. You were commanded to take the land. You were commanded to possess your promises. And he says this, if it's in the line of duty, when God has commanded you to do something, like he said to Moses, why cry to me? Speak to the children. Come on now, watch what he says. People today is crying all the time.
There it is.
Lord, what next? What next? Just speak and go forward. That's right. God has commissioned us to do something. Let's do it. Amen. Listen, we got to be careful sometimes. We have to be careful. We're seeking a direction from God. Well, God, what does God want me to do? Does he want me to do this or do that? And when you're asking God for direction, that's fine. But don't ask him for direction when you won't do what he already told you to do. Well, I wish I knew what the will of God was. Well, he told you quite a bit of it already. And if you're not interested in this, why is he going to tell you something else? You and I've got a job to do. Let's do it. He says this, don't stand around and think about it. Say, well, how can it happen? Well, this is that. Makes any difference if God said to do it? Do it anyhow. He's still the God of miracles. I want to encourage you tonight in July 15th of 2020, no matter what you're going through, he's still the God of miracles tonight. Wherever you're at, whatever you're going through, whatever kind of enemies in front of you, you might have a walled Jericho in front of you that you've never had to deal with in your whole life. But let me tell you tonight, he's still a God of miracles. Amen. He's still the same. He still throws the walls down. He still slays giants. He still sends hail. He still causes the sun to stand still. You say, what are you talking about? There was a man one time by the name of Bartimaeus, couldn't even see the Lord Jesus. But when he spoke, when he called out to the Lord, the Son of God stood still. And let me say this tonight, the Son of God is here tonight. And if you just speak his name, you call on the Lord, he's here to answer your prayer.
Amen.
Amen. My brothers and sisters, he said, if we've got something to do, let's do it. Amen. If we're ever going to do something for the Lord, let's do it now. Let's not wait another year. Let's not put an R&D for 3 more months. Let's do it now. Amen. I believe if there's ever a time, if the church is ever going to realize its potentials and come to an adoption maturity, it has to be today. That's what Malachi 4 was all about. Amen. The circumstances, listen, the circumstances in the world today don't hinder it. In fact, it testifies now is the time that we should have already entered in. Amen. Listen, if you haven't entered in tonight, I want to encourage you. The waters have been rolled back. Get in here. Amen. Let's quit talking about adoption. Let's quit talking about our position like it's some sort of a doctrine. Brother Ram says the doctrine of a theory that they preach in the denomination. Let's talk about it because we're living in it. I don't want to just tell you I heard about grapes over there and I heard about giants and I heard about a land that flows with milk and honey. I want to look around. I want to pull it off the vine. I want to say this is what it's all about. I'm not just talking about it. I'm a partaker. You're partakers of the divine nature tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Brother Bram says this in the sermon I was with Moses, 1960. He's talking about this idea of the Jordan being overflowed. He said the Jordan was 3 or 4 times its size. Spooky. Horrible looking, muddy, but Joshua said, God said, within 3 days we're going over. And we're going over. Amen. He said, now the clergy would say, watch this, it's the preachers now. Amen. The clergy would say, now wait a minute, Joshua. We're educated men. We're smart. Many of us are engineers from Egypt. We know how to do these things. So we're just going to wait a little while until the stream clears up and we can walk across. Isn't that much easier? He says, I don't care what you think. God said 3 days and we're going over and we're going over. We're going over in 3 days. Watch what Joshua did. What did he put first? The clergy? No, sir. He put the word first. Said, you take the ark. Take that ark and all you priests, stay away from it. Get behind it. Watch this now. Don't try to lead it. Let it lead you. He says, that's the trouble today. We try to get ahead of the word and bypass. And amen. Now watch this. And make the word to fit this and to fit that. You know, that's what I love. I actually don't love it, but that's what's interesting to me, I guess. You know, you can take any sort of a political thing or a health thing or whatever today, and if you've got a thought or opinion about it, you'll find somebody that'll say it the way you want, and you say, see, that proved I was right the whole time. We're no longer worried about what's actually true and what's not. We just want to make it fit in our paradigm. Well, so-and-so says it the way I do, or so-and-so. And if we're not careful, we bring that right into church, and we try to make this word fit what we want. Well, I find a preacher that preaches it the way I want. That don't mean he's right. And then don't try to lead the word. You be led by it. Amen. He says, what we need today is to follow the word. Amen. Now I want you to think about this. It didn't look like the right time. And people today can take circumstances. They can look at the church, say there's more confusion, there's more sin, there's more darkness, there's more doubt in the world. It's even in churches today. And say, there's no way this could be the hour. There's no way this could be the time. They can look at the message. They can look at falling away. And people that are, they've got every kind of wrong motive and say, it can't be the hour. This isn't the right time. But I want you to understand when the Jordan overflowed. Amen. They looked at that and said, this can't be the right time. The Jordan's overflowing. But Joshua said, no, that proves it's the right time. Because the Jordan always overflows in the harvest. Think about that now. God is taking them into a promised land in the harvest time. Why? Because he had some food over there. Spiritual food laid up for them in due season. Think about this now. What if they crossed over in the middle of the summer? The manna ceased to fall as soon as they crossed over. What if they went early spring or they went this time? There would be no food there. The only way for God to sustain them would be to cross over during the harvest time. So the very sign that they looked at and said it can't be was the very sign that says, no, this is the hour for it. This is the harvest time. This is the time that God has provided the land for us. And brothers and sisters, when you see all these things that are taking place today, you lift up your heads. Your redemption draweth nigh. It's the harvest time. The rising of the Jordan. Death is all around. That's just the sign. Now is the time to be in your promised land. There's food stored up here. It's not in some garner somewhere laid up. It's ripe on the vine. It's ready for the harvest. It's ready to be taken in by that great combine in the sky. We're fixing to get out of here.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. The only time they could cross over and be sustained was the harvest time. The very flooding of the river was the very sign that this is the time. Amen. Notice, this is what I'm trying to say tonight. Circumstances did not dictate their crossing. This season they lived in dictated their crossing. Not the circumstance, the season they lived in. It's the harvest time. Therefore, no matter what else is going on, this is the right time. And brothers and sisters, we have heard it through a vindicated prophet. This is the evening light message. This is the harvest time. This is the third Exodus. This is the hour of our deliverance. There's no eighth or ninth or tenth or something else. This is the harvest time. This is the perfection, the maturity, the adoption of the body of Jesus Christ. So if you're going to do something for God, let's do it now. Amen. This is the day. This is the time.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Brother Bramley preaches a sermon, End Time Seed Sign. He talks about this in Spoken Words, the original seed as well. But Brother Bramley tells you that denomination sowed its seed. Amen. Denomination sowed its seed. He said, but it can only reap denomination. He says, but praise God. Amen. It says that the word has been sowed also. You say, well, there's all kinds of nonsense in this. Listen, denomination sowed its seed. Don't be surprised. Politics sowed its seed. The world sowed its seed. Pentecost sowed it. Don't be surprised that they've got a harvest on their hands and they're reaping what they sowed. But I want to be encouraged. I want to encourage you. The same word that quickened them has quickened a bride. The former rain said it, Brother Bram said. He said it's a Hebrew word, more, and it means a teaching rain. The teaching of the word has sowed for a harvest. And a lot of people believe it and say, we're waiting for the rain to fall. We're waiting for this or that. But we understand through the message in the Bible that the former and latter rain have fallen together. As our brother was, I love that, how it tied into Sunday. Not just the mechanic, the seed, the dynamic, they fall together in the last hour. Amen. They've already fallen together. That's how you know you're in the harvest time. The rain already filled up the Jordan. Listen, the Jordan, they didn't cross over because it was drought time. They crossed over because it was so much rain that Jordan couldn't even hold it. Man, the rain already fell. That's why it was full. Amen. That's, see, you know you're in the harvest time. See, people, they're waiting for power and they fail to recognize it's already come. You see, how do you know that? Because when the mighty angel descended with a shout, he brought quickening power with him. But the Bible said quickening power revealed his coming. Quickening power showed us who it was up there. Quickening power opened the word. What's the rain type? It's quickening power. It's the power to quicken the seed. Therefore, if he's already opened it, if he's already revealed it, quickening power has already come because he's come. The first man, Adam, was a living soul, but the last Adam is, he is a quickening spirit. So if he's here, quickening power is present tonight. Well, we're waiting for something to come. If he's here, then everything you have need of is here tonight. Your healing's here. Your deliverance is here. Whatever promise you're praying for, he's walking through here right now. I believe he walked in the door when I did. He put on my shoe leather today in Van Wert, Ohio, and he come all the way up here tonight so he could hear from himself. The word speaking to the word.
That's the truth.
When two omnipotents meet, something's going to take place. Hey man, it's not just a bunch of staring and nothing's going to happen. Something's fixing to take place. Something's taking place tonight. If you can recognize it.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Amen. See, believers, they're already over in the promised land. They're not planning. They're eating. We're not having that, well, I hope we can get a nice harvest this fall. Well, I got to put enough squash and tomatoes. Hands that weren't your own planted this spiritual food for you before you were even born. You've got a spiritual food laid up. It's laying on the vine. Amen. The seed that was planted has already come to a maturity. No, it's not. It's a maturity. That's when you partake of it. Amen. So that's the only way to partake of it, if it's in its maturity. I go back to this scripture here in Isaiah. To whom is he going to teach knowledge? Who's it going to make them understand doctrine? Them that aren't babies anymore. Amen. That's why some people, they can study this message. They can listen to it day and night. They can associate with it for 20 or 30 or 40 years. And yet they're no further up the road than they were before. Why? Because they're a bunch of spiritual babies. And Brother Bram said, you can't teach a bunch of Pentecostal babies spiritual things. Come on now, that's the truth, amen? There's got to be something in our lives that can discern or recognize the will of God. Not just our own opinion in the will of God. We've got to discern his will. Amen. It's for those that have come to maturity. The Bible says this in Hosea, the 4th chapter, in the 6th verse, a familiar scripture, hopefully for us. It says that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Now, I've heard that quoted a lot. Most people stop right there. Well, my people, they're like, they're just ignoramuses. They're destroyed for lack of knowledge. Read the rest of the scripture. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. See, it's not the absence of knowledge. It's that people reject it. Amen. Now, the Bible tells us in the last days, there would come a famine. Not for bread alone, but for the hearing of the word of God. Now, it's not the word of God. It's the hearing of the word. You got Bibles on every street. You've got 1,100 messages, and there's plenty of people that they could listen to this message every day if they wanted to, but they're busy listening to other things and different voices. They're too busy reading bedtime stories and all other kinds of nonsense whatever kind of, I mean, you know, do whatever you want with that, amen? We can read this thing and this idea and this kind of trashy novel and this and that, and you've got a life here. Listen, they're not starving because it's not available. But it's not being preached. It's not being proclaimed. And they're looking, where's the voice at? Amen. But in this land, there's no famine here. The famine's out there. The famine's not in the land. The rain has fallen here. There's a harvest. This message, I don't feel the need. Amen. I don't feel a need to have some sort of an auxiliary or periphery to this message and say, well, you know, I need to add this thing or add this doctrine or add this teaching to kind of complete it. I believe the revelation is good as it is. I believe, as the prophet said, by divine vindication, we have already the perfect interpretation. I don't have to build it up. I don't have to alter it. I don't have to change it. It's not a lack. Listen, this ministry, Brother Ram said, he went around the world 7 times. It's not like you can't get on. Listen, you can go to a third world country and they got smartphones. You've heard me preach that before. I don't know how they do it. They don't got a meal for that night, but they got smartphones. You can get on a smartphone in a third world country and type in www.branham.org and listen to the prophet's voice. You can read a King James Bible for less than a dollar. Amen. So it's not like there's just a lack, like it was never planted. It's a rejection of what was placed there. The very same thing that happened with Israel in the wilderness. They were offered a promised land and they rejected it. So, well, it's got giants, it's got this, it's got that. Listen, that land was there the whole time. Those grapes were the same size 40 years before as they were 40 years later. It was a land flowing with milk and honey 40 years earlier than it was 40 years later. Everything they needed was there. They rejected it. And it caused their carcasses to litter the wilderness. Amen. There's no drought in the promised land. It's rained so much that Jordan's overflowing. Amen. People perish from a famine for the hearing of the word. Amen. Not only do they not know what to believe, but when a true teacher comes along, they reject it. Amen. This Pentecostal minister came to Brother Branham one time. A lot of you probably know this story, but this minister came to Brother Branham one time and rebuked him for preaching on women cutting their hair and wearing shorts. And that man told Brother Branham, said, that's none of your business. And Brother Branham said, well, whose business is it then? Somebody has to tell them. So nobody's telling them. Somebody, God's got a voice somewhere. Somebody has to tell them. And the man said, well, why don't you, watch this now. Watch what the man says. Well, why don't you teach them how to use gifts and things like that? And Brother Branham said, now, how can I teach them algebra when they won't learn their ABCs? Well, teach us how to do great things. Why? You don't want to learn how to do simple things. Well, if you ever raised kids before, you know how that goes. It's like, look, if I can't get you to do the simple thing, why do you want me to teach you how to do the great thing? Amen? And so, we understand from this what he's saying. Obviously, there's a certain kind of teaching that even accompanies that, but his point is, why teach you something like that when you won't even learn the basics? Amen? The Bible says that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Amen. Now, if you read your NIV, it says, by every word of God. But the scripture, the King James, the original says, by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Because the famine is for the hearing of the word. Amen. In other words, God has to have a mouthpiece. God had a mouthpiece in this day. And it's not that we live by bread alone, but every word that we hear, every word that comes out of the mouth. God's got a mouthpiece. Now, the church is its own mouthpiece. But God has had a prophet messenger with the voice of God. Thus saith the Lord. And I believe this bride under the prophet messenger, she's the final voice to the final age. Not just bread alone, but the hearing, every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Amen. Amen. In other words, it's thus saith the Lord. Amen. That's what we're here. The bride has thus saith the Lord. That's what the prophet said now. Didn't say we're waiting for it, looking for it, it's going to come down with it. We have thus saith the Lord, and we know what he wants done with it. See, there's something to do. We're not scratching our head. What's he want us to do? We can't pray, can't read our Bible, can't come to church, can't do nothing, can't overcome. Listen, he's giving you some orders. It's time to start marching. We're supposed to be in the land, not over here wondering how we're going to get in. And so many people, they're scratching their head wondering how it could be. It is because he said it is. I know it's a paradox. That's what he's been doing the whole time. It's true because he said it. Amen? It's line upon line. Precept. See, how can I teach you great things you won't learn simple things? He gives it to you line upon line, then precept. Amen. Now the precept, if I could say it this way, is the lesson that you learn from the line. Amen. If I just teach that 2 + 2 = 4 and 3 + 3 = 6, you can memorize that. But it's another thing when you understand how I got it, how that works. And God's not wanting us just to, well, I memorized this scripture, I memorized this quote. He's wanting us to have an understanding how the nature of God is. Well, I'll give you an example here. I like this. I use this a lot. But you look at the Apostle Paul in the book of Acts, the 19th chapter. And the Bible says that they took from him aprons and handkerchiefs. And they took them from his body, those that were sick, those with demons. And they were healed. They were made whole. And Brother Brown says, now, where did he get that from? Think about this now. Nowhere did God, according to the scripture, nowhere did God command him to do that. So how does he know to do that? Brother Bram uses the example of Gehazi. When the prophet Elisha knew that boy was dead, he had his servant Gehazi go ahead with his staff to lay on the boy to raise him up. See, so what I'm saying is, Paul, through reading the scripture, discerned something about the nature of God and his anointing that was more than just, well, God, well, if you take a handkerchief and put it, he understood something about God's nature. See, because an adopted son or daughter of God, they have the maturity of his character. In other words, it's not just do this and don't do that. They understand and have the very mind and heart of God. So he understands something about God's nature from reading. There's a revelation to him of how quickening power worked. Amen. The prophet Elisha, when his dead bones were in a grave, a man was thrown on top of it and he raised to life. So through reading the scripture, this man, the apostle Paul, by revelation understood that the power of that anointing could lay on a dead man's bones and raise somebody to life. What about a handkerchief? What about an apron? What about whatever? Now, I'm not trying to present an extra biblical or a new doctrine, but what I'm showing you is that Paul, by understanding the nature of God, could testify of these things. Like I said, we have no commandment in the scripture to do that. And yet Brother Brandon did the same thing. He had a prayer clause. Why? Because he's seen it in the Word that it was right to do it. Think about Joseph in the Bible when he tells his offspring, don't bury my bones down here in Egypt. Now, nowhere in the Bible does it say, thou shalt not be buried in Egypt. But he understood through the revelation given by his daddy, by his granddaddy, his great-granddaddy. He knew there was going to be a resurrection in Palestine one day, that Messiah would come and hang on a cross. And when he cried out, the graves would be open. This is why Abraham contended and he purchased the field and the plains of Mamre from the sons of Heth. They offered it to him for free. He said, no, I want to buy it because I want this to be for every one of my generations after me. I want my children to be buried in the right kind of place because there's going to be a resurrection here. And let me testify, I found a place to bury my family and myself and everyone after me and every generation of my offspring. It's not here in Defiance, Ohio. It's not Van Wert. Let our life be hid with Christ in God. I might not be able to give him the best scholarship. I might not have the nicest house, but I've got the right place to plant him. There's going to be a resurrection. There's going to be a rapture. It's already begun. And I've planted him in the right place. Amen. So we want to understand the nature of God because it's our nature. That's what it really comes down to. That's actually our nature. We look at this flesh. We say, we've got temper in my family, or we've got lust or addiction. No, you don't understand. That's not your nature. Though we walked after the flesh, or though we've known Christ after the flesh, that's not how we know him. We might war after the flesh. We don't walk after the flesh. Amen. It's by revelation. The new man is made in his image. That's what this promised land's about. So, well, I lack, I don't have, I can't. No, that's outside. That's not what, when you're in the land, it says all things are possible. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. Praise the Lord. Listen, anybody can get up in the pulpit and just say, well, I'm just quoting the prophet. I'm just quoting what the Bible says. So does every other fake movement. every other kind of false doctrine that's ever been. They all quote from the Bible or their version of the Bible or something else. Amen. It's like Shakespeare said in The Merchant of Venice. He said, the devil can quote scripture for his purpose. Amen. Everybody can get up here and say, like, well, the Bible says this and the Bible says that. It's another thing to understand your position by revelation. Amen. Brother Brown said that Satan, listen, this is what he said now. Brother Brown said, Satan admits that 99 and 99 hundredths of the word is right. That's 99.99, in case you don't know how I fall. Amen. Satan will admit that 99.99% of this is right. He'll go right along with you. He'll shake hands and say, I believe that. Amen. But it's that little bit there. Amen. What's the difference tonight between us and the rest of the world? Amen. Promised land. Life is the difference. Now listen, we're talking about teaching and the seed and the growing and the maturing. Brother Bram says this in the sermon, You Must Be Born Again. This is 1961. He says that false teachers will bring false births. True prophets will bring the word, the birth of the word, Christ. So what is the new birth? It's the revelation of Jesus Christ to you personally. Christ in you is the hope of glory. Not Christ in the great big holy church. Not Christ in history. Christ in you is the hope of glory. So what does the new birth produce in you? Christ. Not a part, not a second or third person. The power, the fullness of God that was manifest in Christ has been poured out in Morpha into the body of Christ.
Amen.
See, that birth, see, a false birth will, that puts you anywhere. But this birth, I'm talking about word birth. Peter says we are born not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, even the word of God. That birth will cause you to accept all this word because it's the author of it. Not just the parts you like, not just the parts that you think should be there. Amen? See, that's where the real danger is tonight. Your Methodists, where they failed. Brother Brown said this is where Pentecost failed. He said they get a new spirit. The Bible said that, Jeremiah 31. God said, I'll give you a new spirit and I'll give you my spirit. He says, and they get a new spirit, but they don't go on to get the Holy Spirit. You say, what are you talking about? Brother Brown calls it a borderline believer. Listen, that's the same thing they did when they come to the Jordan River. Amen? Your half-tribe of Manasseh and Reuben and Gad, they come right up to the border. They come right up to the Jordan. They said, you know what? It's nice here. It's a pretty good land. It looks as good to us as what's on the other side. They come all the way right to the border and they stop short. Said, we're going to dwell here. And you find out even over in the New Testament when Jesus goes to the Gadarenes, the land of Gad, they've got pigs there. They've got idol worship. It caused them to elevate other gods.
Amen.
So even in the New Testament, after they've come back out of captivity, amen. Listen, I give the Pharisees this. At least they won't worship some other god like Baal or something. They worshiped Satan ignorantly, amen. But they weren't, see, when they're over here in Gad, they're not even in the same book as us anymore. Amen. You see where I'm going with this. Borderline believers. They could run around, they could get excited, or they could say, oh, this is a nice land, it's nice and intellectual, we've got intellectual giants here, it's a good, it's dignified, and it's sociable, and we've got a cafe in the church, we've got movies, or we've got PlayStations, we've got all these things, and we can entertain people, and we can make them happy, we got a sports team, or we got this. They've got all kinds of social programs to take the place of feeding you the Word of God. Now, I'm not against you playing baseball if you want to play it on your free time or basketball or you want to go hunting, whatever. Amen. But when a program takes the place of the Word of God, that's the same thing as a borderline believer.
Oh my.
They're coming to church. They're gathering together. They're serving God
right.
On the other side.
Amen.
They're trying to do God a service without it being His will. They've got a formal or a psychology. Brother Bram said, you can get a man so worked up by psychology, he can walk through a fire. He says, and they're not even Christians, borderline believers. Brother Bram says this, Seal Antichrist, this is 1955. He says, borderline, halfway, watch that religious spirit. You say, Brother Branham, do you mean to tell me that the Antichrist spirit will be a religious spirit? Jesus said it'd be so close like the real thing till it would deceive the very elect if possible. I really want to understand, if possible it would. It means it's not. But if it were, even the elect would be deceived. You and I are not here tonight because we're just smarter than the next group of people, or we're just more educated. There's something different about you, and that's the only reason tonight that you're not blind. He says that throws it in a little different light to it, doesn't it? It's a religious spirit. Listen, the worst kind of devil you're ever going to deal with is a religious one. Amen? A spirit that can shout. That'll stop shouting just because of that, because you can shout too. You're still allowed to shout. Listen, praise the Lord. Listen, we do that. We get so worked up. Well, listen, the devil can shout. Well, so can you. Well, the devil dances. Listen, you're not impersonating the devil. He's impersonating you. You've got a right to do these things. You're not the impersonator. You're not the one that's off. That's the enemy. He's looking at your lens saying, I wish I had what they had. You're the possessor. Now, don't get all shook up.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
But put it in its place now. But listen, a religious spirit can shout. A spirit that can dance in the spirit. A spirit that can cast out devils. A spirit that can do all kinds of miracles. And still not be born of the Spirit of God. Amen. Jesus said in that day, he says, listen to this. Many will come to me and say, Lord, have I not cast out devils in your name? In your name, haven't I done many mighty works? And I will confess to them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I didn't even know you. Watch this. He says, and today, we base our soul almost upon someone who can preach like a fireball. Amen now. Listen, I'm not putting my confidence in my ability to preach, because first of all, some of you would be like, well, you ain't got no confidence then. Amen. It don't matter how much he can preach. It don't matter how gifted he is. Amen. We put our base, our soul almost on somebody who can preach like a fireball or somebody who can lay hands on the sick and get them well. That doesn't mean anything yet. Upon somebody who dances in the spirit or shouts the victory, that don't mean anything yet. Not a thing. Upon emotions, you can't rely upon that, although that's all right. It goes with it. But you've got to get the real thing first. Listen, we can content ourselves if we're not careful and say, well, you know what? This is good enough for my kids. Amen. Well, let's just assume tonight we're all in the promised land. Amen. I got four kids back home. I can't content myself to say, well, you know what? They go to church. I read the Bible. I pray with them. They've got to come in the land with me. Your brothers, your sisters, you, whoever, we've got to cross over. No matter how dangerous it looks, listen, let me tell you this. If you follow the word, it'll be dry ground. You don't have to worry about sinking. You don't have to worry about stumbling or falling.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. See, they base things upon this or that. See, this is the thing. We're all built a certain way. Amen? Even as Christians, we're all built a certain way. We're not cookie cutters now. And listen, sometimes we prefer some things to others. Brother Bram said, I like cherry pie. My brother likes apple. Still the same family. Okay? We all have preferences in different things. And those preferences are not always a bad thing. But they become a hindrance when we exalt them over the Word of God. Preference is okay as long as you don't esteem it over the Word of God. Amen? Listen, tonight I'm not here to try to impress you with some sort of a great understanding of the Word. And you can't even, like some preachers, they, oh, I understand all this. And nobody understands it with them. Like some sort of intellectual giant. What good does that do? Paul said, I'd rather I say five words and you get it. Then you get up here, oh, look at me, I can say 10,000 words. That don't mean nothing. Amen. Listen, there's plenty of people that go to the school to learn this Bible and they don't know the first thing about the kingdom. It's no different than Nicodemus. Here's a teacher in Israel. He didn't even know what Jesus was talking about.
Amen.
Amen. I'm not worried tonight about how excited I can get you. Amen. When I was looking at this, as I was thinking of this story, you'll appreciate this, Brother James. I was over in Africa here some years back, and the first week I was there, we were doing a convention with some other ministers, and they had all these guys come from all these different places. Didn't know why I had to be there because they had enough people, but whatever. And they had this one guy that he wanted to preach a sermon. He wanted to get up at least once and speak. So they let this guy get up there. And I can't remember what country he was from. I think it was Zimbabwe or something. But he gets up there. And I tell you what, this guy could work the crowd. He gets up there and he's tightening his belt up. And he's throwing out this quote here and Eagle Belt Buckle here and Sabino can't. And he's just saying all this stuff. And the people are excited. They're on their feet. They're shouting. And I'm thinking, this guy hadn't even taken a text yet, didn't pray, didn't do nothing. You know, I'm not trying to make it a formula, but I'm thinking, I don't even know what he's talking about. He said a bunch of good things that had nothing to do with one another. And so I'm sitting there and I'm actually getting mad. And the guy next to me, he's kind of helping me translate a little bit and this and that. And he's kind of getting mad with me. He looked over and said something to me. He said, he's sure talking a lot. I said, yeah, he hasn't actually said anything the whole time. And finally, after 45 minutes, I mean, this guy, everybody's loving this guy. After 45 minutes, he's like, well, I better take my text before I run out of time. I'm thinking, oh, he's just getting started. He said, how do you know it was 45 minutes? I timed him. Timed him. Amen. I had nothing else to do. Listen, that looks real good, but I couldn't tell you what he said. I bet nobody there could tell you what he said. Amen. I'm not concerned about how smart or simple or how loud or quiet a preacher is or a Christian, a brother, sister. I want to know one thing, is what they believe and what they preach, is it transforming their lives? Because if you're not being transformed, you're being conformed to the world. Is there transforming power in what you say and what you preach? I'm not a preacher. We're all called to live a sermon. Is our life preaching transformation or is it preaching conformity? Now listen, I already made the point to you. You can go to church and conform to this world. Lots of the world looks a lot like church. Amen, somebody. That's a borderline believer. So I go to church, I do this, I do that. They profess to know God, but in works they deny Him. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. They're lovers of pleasure. Listen, they love God. They love God. They just love pleasure more. Amen. Brother Brown says this, if we're not careful, he says, you go to church, we take one another's spirit. Nations have spirits. Families have spirits. Some churches have spirits, and it's not God's spirit. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. We like a certain kind. We have a certain kind of preference. Well, I like my preacher loud. I like the guy. Oh, man. And if we're not careful, we let our preference dictate what we listen to. And listen, that guy, he might preach it just the way you like. He might say just the things that you like, and it has nothing to do with the kingdom of God. God's not interested in giving you what you want. He's interested in giving you what you need. Amen. Listen, if my kids picked out what they want for supper every night, I tell you what, I'd be at Dairy Queen 6 days a week. And then have a stomach ache, and their teeth would be rotten out. And when my wife puts that broccoli on the plate, actually, they like broccoli. But most kids don't. Listen, I'm not worried about giving them what they want. I'm going to give them what they need. And any God-called man, any God-born, a word-born son or daughter of God, they're worried about what you need, not what you want, not about your feelings or what makes you happy or what's going to make you excited. They want to give you the word because that's the only thing that's got transformation in it. What we need is transformation. What we need is the promise of God and the promised land that can take cowards and turn them into heroes. It can take the barren and give a life to them. Glory to Jesus. See, we get preferences and we lean a certain way. And because we lean that certain way, we esteem certain things. And that doesn't prove anything. See, Brother Brown, when he's preached this, I'm coming down to what I want to focus on tonight. When Brother Brandon preaches the adoption series, he tells you there's a certain reason he's doing it. He actually has a purpose in mind, he says. And he says the purpose, he says, is because the church is always trying to take someone else's corner. He says, and then he says, don't do that. Say, what do you mean? In other words, we're all trying to be like somebody else. We're trying to imitate or take what belongs to somebody else. He says, don't do that. His whole purpose in preaching adoption was so you would take your position, not somebody else's position. Exactly. He says this in adoption's second part. He says, Ephraim don't want to stay. One of them wants to go over here. We find Manasseh gets out over here. Says, oh, the Lord, give me a good cornfield. Then he comes over here, Gad says, well, now, wait a minute. I'm supposed to raise oats, but I'm going to get corn too. Hallelujah. He says, you see, you ain't got nothing to do with corn. Get oats. Oats is your part to raise. Now, listen, if you want a balanced diet, you've got to have the variety in there. Amen. Sometimes it's correction. Sometimes it's encouragement. Sometimes it's reproof. Whatever it is, God give you what you need. Amen. And listen, you've got a part. And just because somebody's got corn, I want to raise corn. You see where it's talking about, it's a type now, obviously. You can go plant corn if you want. He says this. He says, oats is your part to raise. You ain't supposed to herd sheep when you're supposed to herd cattle. He says, hallelujah. And he says this, and you can't tell them a thing about it. And that's where the church really struggles. Can't tell them. They all know better already. You can't tell them nothing about it. No, they still got that goaty nature. But. He says, you can't tell them. And he says, now, isn't that true? And you can't place the church. Why can't you place the church? They don't want to hear it. We want to hear how, this person's great and this person, I'm great. He says, the church is supposed to be predestinated unto the adoption of children. We're a man. He says, God can take a man and adopt him into the family and give him something. That first, try that and see if that's right. The Bible said, try the Spirit. Now, this is a whole other sermon. I was actually getting ready to preach this last Sunday, but you're supposed to try the Spirit of something. Not just blindly accept whatever. Listen, praise the Lord. You'll probably hear this again sometime in the future if the Lord tarries. Listen, God has not called us to blind devotion. He's actually opened our eyes to see. We don't just accept, well, this man said it or this said it. We can see what he's talking about by revelation. Amen. We're not just a bunch of fanatics. We've entered this soberly. We've got the mind of Christ. You're allowed to try the Spirit. You're actually supposed to try the Spirit. This man claims a certain thing. Try it and see if it's right. Phew, well, praise God. Well, hallelujah. And if a man gets offended when you do that, you say, well, there's something wrong with your nature then. Because a man of God has no problem with you trying what he says. Because it's the word. Listen, Paul didn't get offended when the Bereans went and searched the scriptures about what he said. Well, you can't do that. I said it. He said they were more noble. Well, hallelujah. Then they have Thessalonica. Praise the Lord now. He said, see if it's right. If it's right, move right with it. Then say, Lord, send us something else. Keep moving. So you just keep moving till every fellow take his place. Amen? Not just one guy. Till every one of us takes their place. Then you're going to see a church of God begin to get its place. Then's when the Philistines will go to backing up. The shorts will go off. The hair grow down. Faces will be washed. Cigars will be missing. That's right. When the church begins to get into its mighty power, when we have an Ananias and Sapphira and a few of them, yes, sir, you'll see when that holy church stands together in its power, positionally placed as sons of God, adopted into the family of God, powerful church standing there in its glory. And he says, oh, that's what he's coming for. And you take it back to the church age book, he's coming back for church in the power of Pentecost. Amen. He's not coming back for an impotent, weak, defeated church. He's coming back to a church with ability and courage and power.
Amen, amen. Exactly.
Now, how are we going to have it? Everybody's got to find their place. Each one. See, when Joshua, you go back to the 18th chapter in the book of Joshua, they'd crossed over and they got some victories, and a lot of people, they do that. They get a new spirit. They get whatever. God bless them. Brother Ben talks about the Joneses, how they get a church and they start to fit in. They get a new class, he says. And then they begin to get away from God. They got a few victories in the promised land and they stopped, and Joshua rebuked him, said, no, he called them slackers, basically. He said, you've slacked to take the land. He says, take all the land. Amen. It's not good enough that Judah got his land. It's not good enough that just Levi got his. You've all got to take the land. See, some of them got their part of the land. They sat down and said, well, we got our part of the land. He said, no, you go fight along with them till we all get it. We each got to get in it before we possess the promise. It's not good enough for just me or just you. You all got to have that. See, that's why I say many times we're looking at the wrong thing. We look at a certain ministry or gift and say, wow, I wish I had that. I wish I was that. But listen, God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Listen, it doesn't matter how many talents He's given you. It could be 2 or 5 or 10. What matters is what you do with what He gave you. Amen? If you won't bury it, but go do something with it. Let's do stuff. Go do something with it. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him.
Diligently. Amen.
Brother Bram says this in Identification 64. A lady asked me coming down the road the other day. She said, he says, Florence Shakari and Brother Damon's wife. She said, Brother Branham, I fast and fast and fast, and still I can't cast out devils. I said, you wasn't born to do such. Your duty is fast.
Amen.
Well, come on. Somebody's got to have that gift. The Holy Spirit is working on somebody else out there for that. You don't know the place. He said, oh, if we had time, we'd teach you on those things in long meetings, how one person is burdened like this for something over here. You don't know. You don't, and not for you to know. Well, praise the Lord, there's a revelation. Like, I fast and pray, but I can't cast the devils. God's using it for somebody else, and you don't even need to know about it. You just do what you're supposed to do. He says, it's him doing it. You're just submissive to the call and always line up with the scripture, see if it's right or not. Says, you want to go cast out devils. And he's saying, that's not your job. You know, God, that spirit you're praying, fall on a minister or something like that. It's the body. Listen, they got to take care of each other. Amen. Not everybody does the same thing. How boring would that be? Can you imagine if you all were like me? Well, that'd be great, wouldn't it? I don't even like me. I wouldn't like any of you. What are you talking about? Well, hallelujah. Brother Bam says this, going back to adoption. He says, many of these little pretty-faced mothers sitting here. I want to encourage you tonight for just a moment. Some of them 60 or 70 years old say, well, what have I done, Brother Branham? You raised your children. You've done what you were supposed to do. Maybe some old dad sitting here saying, well, I harrowed the fields. I did this. I never preached. But you did what God sent for you to do. There's a place for you. He said, speaking to an old doctor, yesterday, one of my doctor friend's buddies, 80-some years old, his sister-in-law here at the church tonight, she's a teeny bit worried about him. I went to see him. I began to talk to him. He brightened up, told me about a hunting trip he'd just taken many years ago in Colorado, the same country I hunt at. Just as brilliant and bright. I said, doctor, how long have you been practicing? He said, when you were nursing. I weighed down. I said, many times that I've practiced taking my buggy, I put my saddlebags over my horse. I took the little satchel and I've walked. I said, yes, down along the creek banks, 2 o'clock in the morning with your flashlight, trying to find a house where a little child had a tummy ache or a mother in labor pains. I said, that's right. Watch what Brother Bram says. He said, you know, doctor, I believe across this dividing line here between mortal and immortality, God has a place for good old doctors that served like that. He said, great tears come in his eyes. He started crying. He reached up his feeble hands and said, brother, I hope so. See, across the land, God judges a man's soul what he is. See, I believe tonight there's some heroes of the faith on the earth. I believe some of them are even in the building tonight. God's got some praying moms that are carrying the banner. God's got some nurses or doctors, some farmers, some factory workers, some electricians. They're not just any people. They're finding their position in the body of Christ. And that man that harrowed the field, when he found his position, that was just as good. Amen? Amen now. Praise the Lord. Brother Bram says, I believe that God is a God of variety. He said, the world proves that. This comes back to what I was saying at the beginning. He's got great big mountains. He's got little mountains. He's got plains. He's got deserts. He's got different things because he made it the way he wanted. And he made the seasons, summer, winter, spring, autumn. He made the seasons. It shows he's a God of variety. He made you in a variety. Amen. Some men are real blusterous and some are real dogmatic. And others are fine. Others are kind. And you just find all different kinds of people. And in his kingdom, so look at St. Peter and judge him by Andrew. See? Andrew's that prayer warrior, just stayed on his knees all the time. And the Apostle Peter is one of those firebrands that preach and so forth. And Paul is more scholarly, like the prophet, something set back. He said, see, Moses wrote the first 4 books of the Old, which he wrote the Old Testament, the rest was laws, Kings, Psalms, so forth. What he wrote in the prophets, Moses wrote the laws, the first 4 books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy. I don't know why he omits numbers, but he did. But it says, and then Paul wrote the New Testament. That's true. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John wrote the Acts, what was taking place and so forth. But Paul separated law and grace and put it in its place. See, he was the writer of the New Testament. He gave us the writings of the New Testament, set the word of God in order. And now he's quoting the scripture. Now notice many mansions, many kinds of mansions, like many kinds of hills, many kinds of rivers, springs, lakes. They were here when you come here. First, because the kindness of your heavenly Father placed them here. He says, because some men like mountains, some people like waters, some like deserts. He says, so you see, you're coming. He knew your nature and what you would be. So he made it just the way that you could enjoy it. He said, I think that's a wonderful Father. See how he's made it like this? I'm glad he made mountains. I like mountains. I like that. Where others, oh, I can't stand it. He must have just emptied his mortar box out there. Well, he emptied it out so I could enjoy it. So you see, so I said, I like the plains where I could see a long ways off. He said, well, two different natures, both of us Christians. Sure. You know what's the strangest thing? I meet people at church, and they love summer. And I think what Brother Bram said, they go insane. They just love the heat, and they can't wait till it gets hotter. And I'm thinking, man, I want icicles on my nose. Amen. Now, amen. Well, apparently I've got some sympathy. See, that spirit's coming. Help us, Jesus. Listen, I don't know what your part of heaven's like, but mine's going to be at least 60 degrees or lower or something. I don't know, man. I'll wear long sleeves. My robe's going to be thick enough. Some people like deserts. Some people like it hot. Different natures, both of them Christians. Now, well, he don't like the weather the way I like it, so he's not a Christian. Now, I might think he's a little odd, but that doesn't make him not a Christian. See, like I was saying earlier, sometimes if we're not careful, churches, they get one another's spirit, and it's the same kind of a spirit, same kind of personalities, they attract each other. What I want you to understand tonight, when I talk about this land's your land, this is we each have a part, and your part, don't despise your part, or esteem somebody else's part over your part, because you're called to be what you're called to be. Amen. And whatever that is, that's great. It's great when you find what you're supposed to do, and you do it. Not when you figure out what I'm supposed to do and you do what I'm supposed to do, or I find out what you're supposed to do and do. When you find your place and you do what you're called to do, that's great. Amen. Amen. When you're not envying after somebody. Listen, let me say it this way. Our diversity is part of our strength. Our diversity is actually part of our strength, because our unity is in the Holy Ghost, not in charisma or psychology. You look at this great land that we live in, this country, and you know, we could say a lot about America, but I'd still rather live here than anywhere else. Amen? But you look at this great country. This is a melting pot. It used to be a land of diversity. And the common idea today is to say, well, we're all the same. We can all do the same things. That doesn't make anybody special. Listen, my wife and I, we're two different people. Listen, no matter how hard I try, I can't give birth to a child. But she can. That makes her special. If I try to say, well, you can't have children because I'm not allowed, that doesn't do anything. That weakens our home. Amen. Our diversity is our strength because it's in the Holy Ghost. Yes. Listen, if we were all the ears, how could we see? If we were all eyes, how would we hear? But God has tempered. God tempered this body together without schism, without an issue. God tempered this body together. Just because somebody's maybe different gift or different, that doesn't make them more or less important. Amen? See, adoption, we're no longer venerating what man venerates. We recognize it's the body of Christ, the promised land, the Holy Ghost, our position, each of our positions. That's what he's coming back for. All of us in our own position. Now, you have a position. We all have a position in Christ, but you're calling within that. That's yours. I can't take your place. I've tried to play the guitar. I'm trash. Amen. Maybe someday. I don't know. Listen, I can't take the brother's place. I can't take my sister's place. Amen. But you take your place. Amen. And you help your brothers to take their place. That's power. Amen. See, so many times we're too busy trying to be like one another instead of trying to be like Christ. There we go. Amen. We're not all called to possess the same position in that land. But we're all called to possess our position with one another. Amen. Brother Bram says, this is my last quote here. You can all stand to your feet. Brother Bram says this. He said, that's the one thing that's hurt our Pentecostal move and other moves. I want you to really take this to heart tonight. Is somebody trying to be something that they're not? They are trying to impersonate someone else. You can't do that. You're just what you are. That's all. And when you do that, God will use you in just what you are. Watch this next sentence. And you're just as important as anybody else.
Absolutely.
I'm going to say that again in case you missed that. I think you all got it because you all said amen. You're just as important as anyone else. Anybody else. Absolutely. He said, as I said the other night, that little bitty hairspring in this watch is just as important as the mainspring. Because it takes it all together to make time. Amen. And so when we realize our position in Christ and then abide in that, if it's just a little housewife, stay right there. That's what God wants you to do. See, just be what you are. Amen. Just be what you are. You're just as important as anybody else. Amen. Brother Bam said, if you've got a gift, you've got a ministry, he said, you should be just concerned about yours as the pastor is about his. Well, who here feels important tonight? Amen. Not self-important now. You're important to God. You're important to one another. Amen. You're just as important as anybody else. I want to encourage you tonight to stand shoulder to shoulder and help one another take your position. Pray for one. The Bible says pray for one another. Right. Hopefully you all do that, but if you don't, I want to encourage you. Pray for one another. Not just in this church, but there's a bride all around the world.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. We're all taking our position. If you found your position, there's a recognition. I'm here to do something for somebody else. I'm here to help somebody else get there because eternal life's living for others. Right. See, we're actually dependent on the Christ in one another we're depending on tonight. You believe that tonight?
Amen.
As you bow your heads, Heavenly Father, we just pray you'd take this thought tonight. And I pray you'd give an understanding and a clarity on all the things I was trying to say. I believe that you've been present with us tonight. You're an ever-present help in the time of trouble. Lord, in the things of life, as we search for direction, as we search for purpose, Lord, may we recognize that you are the fount of every blessing. Lord, we're not defined tonight by the halls of Congress. We're not defined tonight by popular opinion. Our purpose, our definition is found in the Word of God. It's found through the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I pray you would magnify tonight, even now, your kingdom in these people. Lord, may they stand up, upright as mature sons and daughters of God. May they claim their position as Christians in the body of Christ. May they attend to the work that you give them to do, Lord. If they're herding cattle tonight, Lord, may you help them be the best cattle herder they can be. They're called to raise sheep. Help them be the best shepherd. Lord, if they're called to raise corn, if it's a mommy taking care of her kids, if it's a doctor making a house call at 2 a.m, a preacher, a deacon, a trustee, whatever. Lord, help us not to be the very best that we can be. Because it's just as important tonight. Lord, I preach to these people tonight as a man that's wanting to go home in a rapture. I don't want to stay in this world. I have no longing to be here. If it was up to me, I wouldn't even stay here another day. I don't want to live in this world anymore. But I want to abide in a promise with my brothers and sisters, the family of God, like we sang at the beginning. I want to abide in a place where you can take us off the very face of the earth and return again in redemption. Lord, I'm so eager. So ready to be done. I'm ready to be finished. Lord, I'm not asking tonight for you to take me before my time. I'm praying for a body of Christ, a universal body of Christ, that we might come, each one, helping one another into the fullness of our position, into the full maturity and adoption. We can manifest kingdom authority and power, knowing what we've been called to and our purpose. Lord, I pray you bless each one of these tonight by the Spirit, wisdom, and revelation. We give you the praise and the glory, for we ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen, amen. God bless you tonight. Be happy if you have a need tonight to pray with you. Brother, I should have asked you to get a song ready earlier, so now when I ask you now, you'd be like, do you have something? He's got some. Praise God.
I'm just thinking of manifesting.
Oh, that's a good one, because guess what? It's true. Amen, you believe that? It's manifesting time. Well, the fruits are on the vine, and the lovely one is coming in plain view. Oh, to cap God's chosen bride, our redemption draweth nigh. He's that lovely one, he's coming in plain view. Voice of my beloved.
The voice of my beloved, behold, he quickly comes, sweeping over the mountain, over the hills he rides.
Oh,
I long to hear his voice.
Oh, yes!
I long to hear him say, arise, my love, my fair one, come away.
Oh, hallelujah!
Oh, it's manifesting time. shine. And the fruits are on the vine, and the lovely one is coming in plain view. To cap God's chosen bride.
Amen.
Redemption draweth nigh. He's that lovely one. He's coming in plain view.
The grapes are yours and mine.
The grapes are yours and mine. Little foxes for the vine. For the vineyard's blossoms. For the harvest time.
Take this home with you now.
Keep your eyes on things above. Don't look at me or you. See that lovely one, he's coming in plain view.
Oh yes, I believe it tonight.
It's manifesting time. And the fruits are on the vine. And the lovely one, he's coming in plain view. Oh, to cap God's chosen bride. A redemption draweth nigh. He's that lovely one. He's coming
for you, amen. It's manifesting time. Oh yes,
it's manifesting time. And the fruits are on the vine. And the lovely one is coming in plain view.
You see him tonight. Hallelujah.
Oh, to cap God's chosen bride. Redemption draweth nigh. He's that lovely one. He's coming in plain view.
Oh, eyes tonight.
The cleft of the rock. In the secret place so high. Till the daybreak and the shadows flee away. Oh, in that mountain place. A sweet smell's coming through. He's that lovely one. He's coming in plain view.
Oh, yes, I believe it now.
Oh, it's manifesting time.
Hallelujah.
The fruits are on the vine. And the lovely one, he's coming in plain view. Oh, to cap God's chosen bride. Redemption draweth nigh. He's that lovely one. He's coming in plain.
One more time now.
Oh yes, it's manifesting time. The fruits are on the vine, and the lovely one is coming in plain view. Oh, to cap God's chosen bride. Redemption draweth nigh. He's that lovely one. He's coming in plain view.
Amen. Just give the Lord praise tonight. Amen. Lord bless you. You can be dismissed tonight. Let's sing that song. I think it's the same key. I feel like traveling on. Let's sing that as we go tonight. Amen. We're taking the land. Amen. We're not backing up. We're not retreating tonight. We're pressing on. Amen. Let's sing this together. God bless you tonight.
Well, my heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. No pain, no death can enter there. I feel like traveling on. Oh, I feel like traveling. Traveling on, oh my heavenly
this be your testimony tonight.
Oh, the Lord has been so good to me, and I feel like traveling on until that blessed home I see.
Yes, I feel like traveling on. Oh, hallelujah. Yes, I feel
traveling on.
Hallelujah.
Oh, I feel like traveling on.
My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling
on. The Lord has been, let's sing that again. The Lord has been so good to me. Oh, yes,
the Lord has been so good to me
that I feel like traveling on
until that blessed day.